Hi, everyone, and welcome to Northwest Book Talk here on KXRW 99.9 FM, where we connect you with the authors, stories, and ideas shaping our region. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Barbara Herkert, an award-winning author of nonfiction picture books and hysterical fiction. Historical fiction for young readers. Barbara has been telling stories since she was a child, and today she brings history to life through beautifully crafted picture book biographies. Her books, including Sewing Stories, Harriet Power's Journey from Slave to Artist, and Mary Crassett, Extraordinary Impressionist Painter, highlight remarkable individuals and the power of creativity, resilience, and storytelling. Barbara joins us from the Pacific Northwest, where the natural beauty continues to inspire her work, and we're excited to have her as part of the upcoming Northwest Book Fair and Media Fest. So, Barbara, welcome to Northwest Book Talk.
Thank you, Patty. I'm so happy to be here.
So, you've been creating stories since first grade. So, do you remember what first sparked that love of storytelling?
I do. It was actually an assignment from my wonderful teacher, Mrs. Bumstead. She asked us to write and illustrate our own little book, and she had them sewn together and made little books for us. And it was entitled The Rooster and the Cow. I illustrated it in crayon, and I still have it to this day.
Oh, that's so fun. I remember doing something like that, but I don't think it was first grade. It's so fun. So your work focuses on nonfiction picture book biographies. So what draws you to this medium?
I like to find the hidden gem about a person's life that will appeal to young readers. So usually it's overcoming some obstacle, whether it's they're shy or they're sickly as a child, or maybe they were poor, or maybe they were just female. And so I find that gem that will appeal to young people. What was that person like as a child?
You were never a teacher, but you have a background in biology, art, and writing for children. How did that influence your writing?
Well, I often write books about nature, so my biology background comes in handy. I also think it's the reason for my love for research, and my art background influences me because I see a story visually first. When I think about a story, I see it first. I actually started out as an illustrator. I wrote and illustrated my first published book in 2001, and my master's degree in writing for children gave me confidence and polish that I needed to approach agents and editors. So it all works together.
So you illustrate your books, or do you have separate illustrator?
I illustrated the first one. It's called Birds in Your Backyard. Other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 were all illustrated by someone else and all illustrated by different people. So it's been really a joy to see the different styles and how they interpret my words.
So you're professionally published then, and they choose the illustrator for you, or how does that work?
They do. Yes, I'm professionally published. They choose the illustrator for me. Sometimes we have an opportunity to work a little bit together feedback-wise, and sometimes not so much. So it changes with every publisher and with every illustrator. But it's really a joy, and it's a surprise every time.
Yeah, because I can imagine I've always been an independent publisher. But it's like, in a way, though, you kind of have to give up some of that control, and especially if you are as an illustrator. Have you ever found that that kind of makes you a little nervous, or is just, like you said, a complete joy all the way through?
You know, there are times where I felt compelled that I had to say something, that something wasn't quite right, and it was really something important to the story. But usually it's been a matter of, yes, just letting the illustrator interpret my words the way they see them. And it's usually just come out to be a total joy. My new book, Heronry, is so gorgeous, and he captured the mood that I was trying to convey so beautifully. That thrills me just so much. So it's something that I probably couldn't do myself. So it's really quite fun.
Oh, that's very good. Because sometimes you hear horror stories like, oh, the cover was not, you know, what I imagined and that kind of
thing. Well, that's happened a time, maybe one time, but you get over it.
Yeah, there's so much letting go in life, isn't there? In everything.
There is.
So.
There is totally a lot of letting go in life.
Yeah. So your books weave together history, art, and storytelling for the most part. So how do you approach writing about something that's difficult or a complex history for kids that breaks it down simple enough for them to understand it?
Well, I start with a lot of reading. For instance, if I'm doing a picture book biography about someone, I start by reading everything I can get my hands on. I travel, hopefully, to where they lived. I talk to experts, and I take tons of notes. I fill notebooks full of notes. And in that note-taking and talking and traveling, I'm hoping to find, like what I described before, that gem. I want to find out what they were like as children and how they overcame obstacles. And that, I feel, is what will draw children to the subject.
It's like you do a research for a complete, 30,000.
Yeah, long time.
So, and then you have to cut it down to picture book. Do you deal only with picture books, or do you have some story books too?
I don't have any published, but I do have a historical fiction in verse for young adults that is currently trying to find a home. And I've also written middle grade. So I've been all over the spectrum with it. But picture books appeal to me because of their lyricism. And I love breaking that down, that complicated life down to just a few lines, and how to capture that and capture the mood and the essence of that person's life. It's really quite fun. It's like writing poetry. It's something I enjoy very much. So while I'm taking all those notes, all of a sudden the first line will come to me if it's a picture book, and I will jot that down in my notebook. And sometimes it'll just keep going and going, and it just flows. So it's something I can't really explain, but it just happens through that process.
Well, I think it's a real gift, but it's a real talent. I think some quote by Mark Twain, like he could write a book, in a week, but to write a short story, that took a long time, because you have to really, you have to take all this information that you have researched and it's like break it down. But I do think that when stories are told in such succinct form that they stay with the child, they stay with me actually. When something is like you just pick the core of an element, that's a beautiful thing to do, I think, for kids and for anyone. Yeah. Are there any books that you found more difficult than others to do?
Oh gosh. That's a really good question, but there was a book. Okay. I'll tell you a story. There was a book called Sleep, and it was a book. It was the first time I'd done anything work for hire. And I worked with a woman who said she really loved my lyrical writing, and that's why she chose me for the project. And then when we got to the editing, she wasn't wanting lyrical at all. So I had to change basically the entire book. That was really challenging for me. I did it, but I didn't love the process.
Right. So did that kind of give you some guidelines for what things you would take on in the future? Or is that just a one-off?
It sure did. Right for myself.
Yeah, right. I can see that. I mean, I understand. It's just, even like with recording, there's like, okay, some things we're going to do and some things we are not. So
there you go. Go with the flow.
Yeah, right. After we have a little history behind us anyway. So
yes.
So your book, let's go back to your book on Mary Cassatt. I really don't know anything about her. So what were some of the things that excited you about writing about her and what you wanted young readers to take away from her story?
Oh, I love Mary. I mean, if you look at her pictures and you see just from her photographs that she is a bold, courageous woman. She wouldn't accept no. And she was driven to become an artist at a time when society frowned on women artists. She traveled to Paris by herself and joined the Impressionist painters that were all men. And, well, sorry, Bert Morisot. Sorry, Bert. She was a woman, too. But and she was, you know, supposed to stay home, and she was driven. So I love that about her. I look up to her. She's someone I would like to be more like. So.
Oh, that's fun. And was it hard to bring her story into a picture book form, making it, you know, like I say, the core essence of her life into pictures?
Yeah. You know, that was an interesting process too, because I originally wrote about the friendship between Mary Cassatt and Edgar Degas, and it was called Mary and Edgar. And I submitted it, and a publisher was interested, but she said, can you take Edgar out? So she wanted the story just to be about Mary. So I had to basically rewrite the story. But the story itself, it came actually pretty easily. I think because Mary was an artist, the picture book format and the lyrical style, it just kind of went together, you know, it just kind of flowed. So, but yeah, it started out as something and became something else. So that's kind of funny.
So we'll go back to one of your books on nature, which is the book Heronry. Is that right? Heronry?
That's right. Okay. Yes. It's so released June 16th is the release date.
Oh, so we're like really hot on this one. So let's talk about how you got into that book, you found a publisher. Let's do the whole little history on this book.
Okay. Heronry, it's published by Tilbury House. And illustrated by Gordy Wright. I have to say that because Gordy just turned this into a masterpiece. But I was influenced because we had a heronry or a nesting colony of herons right down the street from where I live. I live on the Olympic Peninsula. And the first time I saw it, I was just in awe. It was dusk and the herons were standing over their nests, and they were these dark silhouettes against this night sky. And we pulled over the car and I just stared at them. They were magical. So that's how I was influenced. And then as soon as I started doing research, I was like, yep, I got to do this project. So they're just the coolest birds. And what's neat about them is that they're, you know, nationwide, people see them all over the country. And so it's not a book that's regional necessarily. Mm-hmm. So that kind of had an appeal as well.
Well, that was the one book that you shared with me, and that image of all the bird nests in one area, I had no idea they did it like that. That was very cool.
Yes. Yeah. It's very cool. Yes.
So how did you find a publisher for that? You told me you found the publisher, but did you find the publisher before you started your work, or did the work and then found a publisher?
Well, I have an agent, Karen Grensick, that I've been with for over 15 years. I met Karen shortly after I graduated from Hamline with my master's degree in writing for children. So she shops it for me. I always write first, then I send to Karen. Karen can either be thumbs up or thumbs down. She's been thumbs down on a lot of projects, so I never know. But she was thumbs up on this one. So she sent it out and it sold relatively quickly. Sometimes things can shop around for quite a while. This one sold to Tilbury House relatively quickly. And my editor there, Sarah Rocket, I have just loved working with. She is a gem. So it's been a pleasure, the entire process.
So how long did that entire process from inception to the final publishing in June?
Ah, that's a good question. I don't, you know, keep time. I probably should, but probably a year of research and then sending it to Karen, and maybe she shopped it for 3 or 4 months, I'm thinking. So about a year and a half, maybe two, from first idea to getting it published. And then, of course, you wait for the book to actually, you wait for the illustrator, which can take up to a year. And then you wait for the publishing date, which is still coming. So let's make that 3 years. Ah. It's a long process. You can't be impatient.
Okay, I have. So do you have other works in progress while you're working on one book?
I do. Karen Reeves coming out. I told you I have a historical fiction book about Dorothea Lange, who is a photographer. That is, it's out on submission right now, and that's for young adults. And I just started a new book that's also for, well, let's see, my protagonist is 13, so yes, we'll say it's YA. And it takes place in 1909 on Stewart Island in the San Juan Islands. So it's also historical fiction. So I'm just starting the first draft of that, which is always scary and challenging and fun and all those emotions mixed together.
So one of the things that you mentioned earlier was that you got a master's in children's writing. I mean, so many people, probably me included, think, oh, here's a little children's book. I'll just sit down and, you know, write it out and send it off and get it published. So what did you find getting a master's in that field? What was it about that you wanted to get that much education into doing that?
Okay, that's a really good question. And, you know, it's something that I felt like I had to invest in myself. I had my first book published, which I wrote and illustrated in 2001, long time ago. I joined SCBWI, which is a children's writing organization nationwide, actually worldwide. And so I was learning craft and I was meeting people, but after my first book, nothing was happening. I couldn't get anything else published. And I was starting to lose confidence. So when the time was right, when my kids were old enough that I could be gone for a couple weeks a year, I applied and got into this program. And it was the best thing I ever did for myself. It increased my confidence. It polished my writing so that I felt that I could approach agents and editors. And like I said, three times, confidence. I think confidence was the main thing I got from that. But it was a wonderful program. It's Hamline University, and it's in St. Paul, Minnesota.
So, I mean, confidence actually oftentimes comes from doing things. So,
yeah.
Was it like the projects that you had to actually write a story and, you know, get it critiqued and all that kind of thing? Or what do you think kind of helped build that confidence through that educational process?
Well, you have mentors who are published writers, and they become basically your cheerleaders. But yes, you are in critique group. You meet in person for 2 weeks, and then you go home and you submit packages to your mentor. So you get feedback on your writing. You can work on one novel the entire time, or you can work on multiple projects. In my case, I worked on multiple projects because I wanted to try out different genres. And then for your thesis, you actually get up, you submit a paper, and you do a presentation on, for instance, mine was on picture book biographies. And so you have all that chance to be in front of people, to get feedback, to be with your peers, to be with your mentors. And yeah, it changes the way you look at your writing for sure.
You know, today it's so easy to get published. You know, anybody can kind of sit down at their computer and write something, and there's just I don't know if there's just kind of a quality control, I guess, is what it's saying. And I know, you know, in today's world, we can use AI and spoof it up even better. Oh, okay. But there's still that, you know, that individual heart story that has to come from the essence of ourselves. And yet, you know, like you say, get in a polished form.
Absolutely. Absolutely. AI will never be able to do that for us. It doesn't have heart.
Yeah, right. Or it has somebody else's heart and it doesn't fit you.
Yes.
So what about marketing your books? How do you get your books out in the world? I know today publishers, I mean, probably always, they do some, but it's still up to the author to do, you know, to get their book out. Like you'll be attending the Northwest Book Fair and Media Fest, but what other things do you do to get your book into the world?
Well, I do have a publicist, but like you said, it's limited to what they do. Each publishing house is kind of different in that way. Some are very active and some are not so much. For Heronry, I plan to visit bookstores. I plan to go physically and show them my advanced copies, send out mass emails, and try to get to bookstores, schools, libraries, and book festivals like yours as much as possible. So I love meeting my readers and I love meeting fellow authors. So it's really, really fun. I like the selling the book part. Okay. It's very fun.
Oh, that's good. So do you do school visits or?
Yes. Yes. Whenever possible. Yes. I love doing schools.
So for someone who's never done a school visit, can you just share how you got started and what helps you to make a school visit well?
Yeah, it can vary. You can do large assemblies with, a PowerPoint, which are very fun. My favorite thing is to meet with smaller groups, and then we will actually do a project based, if it's a picture book biography, we might do a project based on that person's life or art style. With Heronry, we might do a project where we will draw a Heronry. I prefer the smaller groups. I like to do writing exercises as well and give them a prompt. What inspires you, for instance, or, what's your favorite place? So that's what I like to do. But I like to be around them. It inspires me to keep doing what I'm doing because they're the reason we write.
Right. Yeah. And it's, like you say, it's kind of a affirmation that you're on the right track and you're doing it, you know, for people that really appreciate it. Do you have any stories of kids that were like really impressed with one of your stories or something and kind of touched your heart?
Oh yeah, I save all the letters I get. They do touch my heart. I can't think of one like off the cuff right now in particular, but they treat you with awe, and when you inspire them, when they say something like, I hope to be an author one day, or I write my own stories, that just touches me. Mm-hmm. And then they'll usually draw a picture, and maybe it'll be of me standing in front of them, or maybe it'll be, a bird, or, whatever we talked about. I just love those. I cherish them. I really do.
It's kind of like your little hope chest, or in a different way.
Yes.
You know, it's like a hope chest to keep you happy when things are a little tough or whatever. When you were studying in education, you know, in your master's, and you tried all those different genres, what do you think drew you back to doing picture books rather than doing, a different kind of medium?
I had a mentor by the name of Jacqueline Briggs Martin, who some of you might recognize her name. She wrote a wonderful book called Snowflake Bentley, and she inspired me to try picture book biographies. I went into the program with a middle grade novel, and I really, really wanted to get Kate DiCamillo as my mentor. And ironically, I did. I got her. But later in the program, I wanted to try out picture book biographies, and I fell in love. And Jackie was just such an amazing mentor. And I still love that genre. The market has been a little tough on picture book biographies lately, but I think it'll come around like everything else does. And I would love to write another one. It's just so fun to delve into someone's life.
So my final question with picture books, are they available for eBooks? Do parents like that medium if they are?
My books, some of them have gone out of print, unfortunately. But This Old Madrona Tree, Sleep, Sewing Stories, those are available as eBooks. Heronry, I don't know yet. I don't know. But yes, those are available. I will have copies of everything at the book festival. So you can find them there.
Okay. So that is great. I understand. You have a website. So where can people reach besides the book fair?
Okay, it's at www.barbaraherkert.com.
Okay, so that's where they should go.
Yes, that's where they should go.
Okay. Well, thanks, Barbara, for sharing with us. This has been fun.
Patty, it's been a pleasure talking to you today.
You've been listening to Northwest Book Talk with Patty Grasher on KXRW 99.9, serving the Greater Vancouver area. You can discover more about Barbara Herkert, her books and writing journey on northwestbooktalk.com. You can also find her on kxrw.fm. Click on shows and then, of course, click on Northwest Book Talk. If you enjoy local radio shows such as this and would like to keep us on the air, please visit us on the web at kxrw.fm and click on the donate button. For all the volunteers and supporters who make community radio possible, this is Patty Grasher. I want to thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you again right here on kxrw.fm.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
For over 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all around Clark County, or read online at vancouverfamilymagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in the Uptown Village neighborhood. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW is supported by Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their women-owned, union-staff, state-of-the-art print shop. Find them at morelink.com.